Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you for joining us this week as we continue our study through Exodus. Let's go now with Bible teacher J. Mark for a closer look at today's lesson.
Genuine hope can only be experienced when you and I are in a right relationship with God. You see, our greatest need is to hear what God has said. The text for my teaching that follows is important because in it, God commands Israel to make a dwelling place for him. Now, perhaps that sounds strange to you. You might recall that King Solomon said about God, "The heaven of heavens cannot contain you." And the prophet Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, said, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." So then, how could God dwell in a structure made by man? We know that God planned to live among his people Israel. We can't question that the Lord chose a particular people to whom he related in a special way. That was his prerogative. He is sovereign. He makes his choices. And he doesn't need to give you and me the reasons why he made those choices. From earlier chapters in this book of Exodus, we saw how the Lord led Israel out of Egypt and brought them here into the wilderness to Mount Sinai. And while they were there, God led them into a covenant relationship with him. You see, he needed a people through whom he could reveal himself to all humanity. So Moses, on the mountain, in the presence of the Lord, received the instructions for all the details of a place for God to dwell among his people. And this place would be called the tabernacle. God's relationship with Israel was to be visible. That is, it was something that they should be able to see. And so God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle with all its furniture and all the various vessels as visible proof that God was, in fact, living or dwelling among his people. Moses received from God the patterns and the detailed instructions to present to the people in preparing for God's dwelling. And so as we begin Exodus chapter 25, we are introduced to the materials for the tabernacle, or this tent of meeting. So listen carefully as I read Exodus chapter 25, and verses 1 through 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall receive of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so you shall make it." In this text, we find the several conditions which are necessary for any people who desire to prepare a dwelling place for God. First of all, we look at the condition of the offerer. In God's request for an offering, he included everyone, even though he knew only some would respond. However, the heart of the offerer, each of those who would give, must be in a proper condition. So God appealed to personal choice, and he requested the offerer to give it willingly. The word willingly quickly takes it out of the realm of any kind of taxation. It was not something that was required. We also note the amount was not stated, and so the amount was completely decided in the heart of the offerer, or in the heart of the giver. So let's probe this a little farther. At first, by referring to the children of Israel, we might consider the whole assembly, and I believe that that was what God intended. They were to be the covenant people. And so consequently, God was expecting a corporate or a group response from this covenant community. But there's another truth that immediately comes to the surface when God added "of every man." Of course, we know every community is made up of individuals, and the final responsibility rests with each person. God understood this most critical detail. Without the cooperation of every person in Israel, the preparation for this dwelling, for this tent of meeting, wouldn't be complete. I remind you that the individual is never lost in the community. That's because God wants a personal response from everyone. In fact, I believe we can go a bit farther. God wants a personal response from you. He wants to be your personal God. Today, for too many people, God is only an idea, some mystical force. But from this portion of God's Word, we should gather the clear truth that God wants a willing-hearted, personal offerer to give. It's important that we see this condition of the offerer clearly, not only for the children of Israel, but also for you and me today. The next condition, then, is the condition of the offering. While God left the amount up to the willing heart to determine, He did say what to give. He didn't say how much, but He said what kind of things they were to give. Not the quantity, but the quality. So let's look at what they were to include in the offering. First of all, God listed several metals: gold, silver, and brass, or we could say bronze. The first two are precious. They're precious metals. They were valuable even in those days. The bronze, most likely, was an alloy whose base was copper. And then the cloth and skins. Here we find the colors requested: blue, purple, and scarlet. Certain types of cloth were needed: fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skins dyed red, and badger skins. And then the wood: acacia or shittim. The oil and spices: oil for light, spices for ointment, and sweet incense. And then the stones: precious stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, part of the garments of the high priest. From this list, we conclude that God had a definite plan for the tabernacle and its furnishings. The metals didn't include iron. Did you notice that? Iron is a metal that's associated with warfare. The offerings were limited to the metals which would enrich and beautify the dwelling of God. They would remind Israel of the glory and the beauty of their God. Now, it may be that the metals were to tell a story, too. Gold to tell of divine glory, silver to tell of divine redemption, and brass to tell of divine justice. And then each kind of cloth had a particular function, too. We notice that the color was specified. Blue may tell us of the heavenly, the color of the sky. Purple is most often the color of royalty, God their king. And scarlet may tell of sacrifice. The shedding of blood was a necessity for anyone to approach God in His holiness. The fine linen may tell us of the need for divine righteousness, because the prophet Isaiah referred to our own righteousness as filthy rags. The ram skins dyed red surely tell of the required blood of the sacrifice. And goat's hair and badger skins tell us of protection. And then the oil and the precious stones further tell us of the glory of God. He wanted the very best from His people and for His people, and He wanted them to know that He required the best, which in reality was still not good enough. Now, you might ask, where did all of this offering come from? Well, let's think back to our earlier studies. Remember, the Lord had instructed Moses to tell the people to ask the Egyptians for jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And then when that final hour came for the children of Israel to leave Egypt, the Egyptians loaded them down with jewels and clothing in abundance. And so it was the treasure they carried out of Egypt that made it possible for them to give an offering to God. God asked them for it. It made them aware of the relationship they had with God. And you know, it's just the same today. The Lord desires our best. Our gain demands that we give to God willingly. And then there was one final condition, the condition of the offer. The willingness of the offerer is now transferred to the offer in these words, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." What condescension! The God who cannot be contained in the heavens said he wanted to dwell among his people right there in that barren land of Sinai. And so he reduced his dwelling to a tent like they were living in. And yet it was not completely like theirs. Think about what the tent idea means. It means God would be traveling with his people as long as they traveled, that wherever they went, he would be able to go with them because his tent was movable. We'll learn about that later on. And then further notice that the plans for the sanctuary weren't left to be drawn up by anyone among the people. The complete plans were given to Moses by God. The sanctuary was to be exactly like the pattern Moses received from the Lord in the mountain. No generalities or modifications would be permitted. It was to be exactly and accurately done. And then consider the actions of God. He is particular about how men approach him. Every detail that he prescribes is to be carefully followed. He is a God of order to the finest points, and nothing is left to chance. Now consider what it meant to Israel to have God's dwelling among them. It was a unique and awesome situation. With no other people has God chosen to dwell like that. The awesomeness goes beyond Israel. To Israel, it meant they will live with God's presence among them. To the nations around them, it was awesome because it marked out Israel as a special people, people who were at a different level. Surely, this should teach you and me that God is a personal God. It's not enough that he dwells in the heavens of heavens. He wants to dwell with his people even today. From these verses, we must conclude that God wants willing service from the offerer. He wants the best in our offering, and he wants to dwell with his people by the offer. Have you found him as your personal God?
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching. And thank you for being here for this teaching. It is incredible to realize the Lord of the universe wants a relationship with people. He wants your heart. Way back here at Mount Sinai, God came close. Again, many years after this, God came closer. This time, he came as a baby. God came in the flesh and limited himself to a body. His desire was and is the same. He desires a relationship with you. He wants to be the object of your worship. After all, he alone is worthy. We see God going to extreme measures to make this possible. If you'd like a copy of today's teaching, or if you'd like to contact us for any reason, here are a few ways you can reach us. The best way is through email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, no problem. Just write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you will find some resources, and under the Listen tab, there is other teaching similar to what you just heard. If you go to the Connect tab, you can message us directly. Again, that website is heraldsofhope.org. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to being with you next week. Until then, go with God and grow in your connection with him. He is an amazing God to love and serve.